Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Dr. Jason Old here, surfer, historian, world traveler, and your host of the Surfing Historian Podcast. This season, we'll be diving deeper into the nuanced world of surfing and examining the historical, cultural, philosophical, and even scientific elements of the sport we're all stoked on. So let's paddle out together and ride through the world of academia. This episode is sponsored by Foil Surfboards. Check out their amazing board selection at foilsurfboards.com. I'm personally a fan of the pill shape for small Florida days. Use promo code STAYSTOKED for a discount on a custom surfboard. Also, feel free to drop them a line if you're in Central Florida and want to join them on a surf session at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon. Joining me today from Ibiza, Spain is Dr. Ignacio Iturralde. Ignacio was raised near the Mediterranean and learned to surf in California before heading back to Spain to pursue a corporate career. Realizing his true passion lay elsewhere, he left his marketing job and embarked on a journey of self-discovery, eventually earning a PhD in social anthropology. For today's episode, Ignacio and I will be talking about his current philosophical research, which focuses on the intersectionality of surfing culture and philosophy. By that, he's referring to the many lessons one can learn from the ocean, combined with the ideas of some of the greatest minds in philosophy and anthropology. Philosophical Reflections on Water, his forthcoming book, dives into the transformative potential of philosophy and surfing as self-improvement disciplines. The book itself has a threefold objective: to cultivate self-awareness within the surfing community, to engage a broader audience in philosophy by leveraging the allure of surfing, and to ultimately achieve a state of what he calls wateraxia, or a stoked state of mind that empowers individuals to navigate the political turmoil and polarization of our hyper-individualized digital era. All that to say that for this episode, we'll be exploring surfing and its connection to philosophical thought, which includes exploring how powerful the ocean metaphor is as an energy and dimension that transcends us, that is bigger than us, and that we can't control. I'm super stoked to have you on the show to share this new writing project with our listeners. But before we get started, I want to personally thank you, Ignacio, as well as our listeners, for being part of this episode of The Surfing Historian.
Thank you, Jason, for having me. It's a pleasure to be in such a forum where we can discuss our passion, which is surfing and our research. And I'm really thankful for the opportunity.
Ignacio, yeah, you know, like I said, super stoked to have you on. You know, I've had the good fortune of having other similar scholars on, and you know, I see your work fitting right in there with them as well. And but before we get into, you know, your forthcoming book that I mentioned in the intro, I'd like to talk a little bit about your newsletter, the Philo Surfer Club, and what compelled you to sort of veer away from that corporate career and get into this. I'm just kind of curious to know a little bit more about all of that.
Okay, Jason, that's a little bit of my life story, my curriculum. And basically, I wanted to share with my readers in this newsletter how philosophy and surfing both saved my life. So I learned to surf back in the 90s in Huntington Beach when I was 16. But at that time, I got trapped in the money rat race corporate world. So I went on and studied business, went on to work for multinationals for 15 years. But I was never fulfilled. I was never fulfilled. And also this very busy business life took me far from the ocean, so I stopped surfing. But there was one thing that kept me afloat, which was philosophy. I read one of Plato's dialogues while I was still doing my MBA, and then I suddenly decided that I needed to follow that passion for understanding, for enhancing my horizons. And then I totally self-didactically studied philosophy. I just went for the exams. It was a very long 5-year degree. And that mindset opened my mind and showed me that success, wealth, value, all these things are not to be found in the corporate ladder. I went back to surfing. So all of a sudden, I had been dreaming for many years, literally dreaming at night of waves. And then I went back into surfing later in my life. So I wanted to share these two of my big passions, surfing and philosophy. And I wanted to do it on also a forum like yours that is open for the people that is not in a classroom, that is not a professor teaching some students, but in some sort of a club, of a surf club, where our motto is life's but an ocean where you are the surfer and the wave. So that is our idea also of transcending the boundaries of ourselves and also merging with the ocean.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, I love your story. I know I've told you that before. And, you know, it's I have a number of newsletters that I've read that I'm part of the club. And so I get these newsletters. But, you know, one of the ones that there's a number I found fascinating, intriguing, thought provoking. But one of them that was published on June 5. It was titled, I believe, Never Turn Your Back on the Ocean. And, you know, in that you reference Friedrich Nietzsche. And, as you know, I had Dr. Kristen Lawler on, and she talked about the eternal return, which is, in effect, a concept from Nietzsche as well. And so I want to kind of pick your brain on what you meant by, you know, never turn your back on the ocean, and how that applies to Nietzsche, because I know that's not a direct quote of his. It seems like your life and, you know, you sort of making your way into the corporate world was in effect attempting to turn your back on the ocean, but you seem to have changed course and got back to the ocean, back to your passion. So what does that quote or that newsletter mean to you?
Okay. You'll see throughout the interview that I tend to adapt quotes. So I take this never turn your back on the ocean, who was Duke Kahanamoku's, who said that. And then in that newsletter, I take, I think it's 5 philosophers, and I adapt this idea as if they have said that. No, and for Nietzsche, it's one that say, I dare you to turn on your back on the ocean. So that perfectly connects with my life journey, but also connects with this idea of the eternal return. Before I get into that one, let me recall another philosopher that Nietzsche was very interested in, which is Heraclitus, Heraclitus the Obscure, who famously wrote, "No surfer ever rides the same wave twice, for it's not the same wave, and she's not the same surfer." That idea is a very, very important one. It reminds us that everything flows, which in Greek sounds very nice, and it's panta rei. It also reminds us that the only constant, the only thing that is for sure happening on the universe is change, and also reminds us that you will never be the one that you are today. So that is a calling. That is a calling to action that Nietzsche really is telling us. And therefore, I dare you to look in the ocean. That for sure relates to these overuse Horatian maxims of tempus fugit, time flies, and carpe diem, seize the day. But it's also a conceptualization of time as a linear, continuous, progressive current. It's one wave that is going from one point to the other, or the original quote that the listener may have heard has similar, but with a river. So we have this idea of the of time, and the eternal return. The original conception of the eternal return is a different conception of time, not the pre-Socratic Heraclitus, but the Stoics. And the Stoics had a concept of time that is being discussed, whether it's linear or recurrent. I personally think that it's cyclical. And they coined this idea of the eternal return, or the eternal recurrence of the same, which basically is telling us that there will be an end of time. When that happens, the world will disappear in flames. And after that, there will be a rebirth and a repetition of the same. So that is how the Stoics thought that the time would evolve and develop. And that is what inspired Nietzsche to create a very urgent call to action. So that now in social media, these CTAs are so important. He created this call to action for improving your life. And let's see how we do it. The eternal return is better understood as a thought experiment. And I'm gonna talk directly to the listener. So now picture what you're doing. What is that you do in your life? And for a moment, imagine that this thing that you're doing, that you are devoting your life to, you would repeat it eternally. So imagine recurrently doing the same thing one time after the other. And how does it make you feel? Would you do it forever? Those are the big questions that Nietzsche is telling us. So if the answer is yes, for sure, you are doing the right thing. So there's a moral or a morale to that story, although Nietzsche was always against morals. But he was telling us, okay, if you would repeat in an endless loop what you're doing the right thing. If you're not, you better change. You better improve your life. So in my case, I was not happy. So I thought, would I be doing the same thing all over again? I use a different thought experiment. It's what would be engraved on my gravestone. And I remember saying, okay, maybe they will engrave, "I was the best marketer of lollipops," which for sure it's something that people have to do, but it's not something that I want to leave as my intellectual legacy. So, that is the eternal. That is the eternal return on a philosophical terms. And there's another interpretation that it's totally mine, and it's also adapted, which is combining these two ideas of Heraclitus and the Stoics. And it's an ecological interpretation of the internal return. So if you position yourself in a linear current of time as Heraclitus, and you think that you will never be the same surfer, that you will never come back to that beach, you might feel excused not to take care of the ocean, of the beach, of the environment. On the other hand, if you think that the world might end in flames, you will not want to be the one burning it down and doing it forevermore in an eternally repeating loop.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And, you know, I was really, as Kristen was talking about it in my episode with her, I was like, wow, that's thought provoking. It's, you know, it really allows you to think and about, well, what do you do on the day? It's kind of like the movie Groundhog Day, you know, or do you, you know, where you wake up and you're effectively doing the same thing every day, but do you enjoy that versus are you unhappy? And as you said, in your life, in the corporate world, corporate sector, you would not have been stoked on the eternal return with in that world. And, you know, you mentioned the Stoics, and I want to bring up another Stoic that you talk about. And by the way, I think he's a Stoic, and this is your world, so correct me if I'm wrong, but that's Socrates. Mm-hmm. You have on
he's previous to the Stoics. The Stoics are followers of Socrates.
Yeah. Okay. So he paved the way of what later became Stoicism. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, totally perfect. Correct. Yeah, thank you for that. And so you know, in considering Socrates, I love your, all this, it was May 27 and 29, imagine, and then in parentheses, all the surfers. First, I like that, you know, nod to John Lennon's song, of course. But apart from that, you say, and this is kind of me, as you were talking, I'm thinking about how we as surfers are really this global cohort, even though at times we don't get along when we're fighting for waves, but for the most part we are this global group. And again, some might think that's overly ideological, but that's all right. You say some dude asked Socrates where he was from. As usual, his answer was groundbreaking and left everyone extremely intrigued. I'm not an Athenian or a Greek. What? You know, I guess that's the question they ask. I'm a cosmopolitan. And so he says, I'm a cosmopolitan. And so, you know, we use that word nowadays, but, and it's not by no means when someone says, you know, I'm cosmopolitan nowadays, is that any sort of revolutionary thought? So why, when Socrates said that, was it so revolutionary? And what was he trying to say? And the last part to that is, how is that related to this global cohort of surfers?
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so the first answer will be to the last question, and for sure, surfers are the most cosmopolitan of the travelers. You, Jason, you define yourself as a, if I'm correct, me if I'm wrong, historian, surfer, and world traveler. So the very first idea. And Cosmopolitan, for sure, for those who think it's a cocktail or a magazine, it means the citizen of the world. So cosmos is Greek for world, and politan, it's citizen. So it means somebody that has a global perspective. And it's groundbreaking these days because globalization is not in the best of its appreciation. But for sure, there is a positive side of being a global citizen, to have a global mindset. Another thing that Socrates was saying is that he was transcending the idea that you have to be from a place. So if you're born in one city, in that case, Athens, which were like countries of our day, so it would be like the Vatican City, or if you're born in America, this only means that you're born in that place, but it doesn't mean that you have to stick to a set of rules, values, or whatsoever. In a way, it opened also the possibility to find your own community in other terms. So I might be most probably more connected with you, Jason, being an academic and a surfer, that with most of my fellow citizens in Spain, which might not surf and not have this desire for learning. This idea also, it's also embedded in the WSL, where pro surfers sometimes don't show close next to their names the flag of their countries. But for instance, you have the flag of Hawaii, or you have the flag of the Euskadi, the Basque country, which is something that I find totally nice and cosmopolitan in that way. Another thing to understand concepts and to think of concepts is to look at the opposites. And in that sense, the contrary of a cosmopolitan, or the contrary of cosmopolitanism, will be, as Gilles Lipovetsky calls it, the hyper-individualism. And he has wrote amazing pages around this concept, that we live in hyper individualistic, hyper narcissistic societies, and this needs a constant feeding of the ego. And when you get this through different media, with social media, with people not being able to calmly engage in debate, what you get is polarization. So the contrary of cosmopolitanism is polarization, is parochialism, is echo chambers, is lack of empathy, is narrow-mindedness. People these days, and also Fukuyama talks about it in his book Identity, people have it very easy to stick with their own tribe. And I'm a social anthropologist, I'm a social cultural anthropologist, and my whole discipline is about understanding others. So we really need to understand others. There is a human desire, but also a human need to understand others, because at the very end, although we portray the differences of the very local communities, at the end we find underlying commonalities, and that is for sure the anthropological universal. So I've been doing field work research for 3 years in southern Mexico, in Mije communities. Very, very isolated. A lot of people being monolingual, not speaking Spanish. And I can tell you, after 3 years, that there are so many things that makes us all the same. So that is for cosmopolitanism. I could talk a little bit more, but let me finish with one Epicurean quote. The Epicureans are also followers of Socrates, like the Stoics. Socrates was such a founding father that he had so many different schools of thought following the Cynics, the Epicureans, the the Stoics, as we mentioned, and the Epicureans are very into the idea of friendship, and they also have into this idea of cosmopolitanism. And there is a very unknown quote that is engraved on a stone on top of a temple by some followers of Epicurean that says, "The various divisions of the land give each people a distinct homeland. But the inhabited world offers all men capable of friendship with only one common house, which is the earth." And that is totally what we surfers believe. Being respectful, being aware, we can travel anywhere in the world and we can mingle with the local communities and we can have a sustainable and a non-colonizing way of being tourists, sharing waves and travel the world as you do, Jason.
Absolutely. And, I think, kind of going back to my question with, Socrates, that I guess to sort of in sum, his comments back then were really transcended what we would define as a social construct. He saw beyond that, city state or social construct. And yeah, that's, it's amazing. And I think you really did an excellent job explaining that for myself and, hopefully for the listeners as well. And, you mentioned one thing about traveling surfers that I think is very important. And I would imagine, most would agree, but being respectful, right? Not approaching these places where we go travel, say Nicaragua or elsewhere, as colonizers. And that's really something that I write about. I write about surf settler colonialism in those surf settler communities, but I think you nailed it, in being respectful and mindful in that global citizenship, in sort of engaging and mingling with the world. I know this isn't the most academic or analytical approach, but having traveled the world, and I guess I want to get your thoughts on this. I've boiled it down to three things. Again, it's not overly philosophical. It's quite simple. If we put aside, say, the clothes that people wear, the language they speak, and even, the religion, their faith, it seems to me that, most people around the world, I won't say all, but most want to love, want to be loved, and they want to, essentially wake up and feel like they're living a life worthy of dignity and respect. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you and Jason. This idea of that there are some ideas that are like strictly philosophical and some are not is something that I totally despise. So if you thought about it, that's philosophical, and that is your conclusions. And engaging in debate is what philosophers do. No? For sure. The basic human nature, and there are like many philosophers who debate that, but in political terms, for instance, Machiavelli or again Thomas Hobbes say that we haven't changed that much even from the time of the Romans, and for sure there is and this idea which comes from Hobbes and Locke and then was picked up by John Stuart Mill, the idea that we look for pleasure and avoid pains, it's a very simple ball to the very essence of people. So if we understand that we all look for our own pleasure and we all try to avoid pain, we immediately become respectful first because we try to avoid a pain to the other. So there's this idea of being free, do what you want, but always take into account the other. Never go beyond that limit that you annoy some other by your being so free or whatever. Yeah, and on the other hand, you also understand that resources are limited. So if you go and surf and there are a certain amount of waves, you cannot surf them all. you need to be respectful, and that means share waves. And that's something that we all should do, even if you're local or you are arriving in a new surfing spot. And that is another newsletter that I wrote a few weeks ago, that I apply the John Rawls theory of justice to the concept of sharing waves and localism. But at the very end is this idea that, okay, if you are privileged because you were born in an amazing point break, right-handers, 6 to 9 foot, then if people come from other places, share with them. Share with them as you want them to share their waves when you travel.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's, you know, some would argue that surfers, you know, in that respect are quite selfish. You know, we do want all those waves, you know, but I think you're right. I think that, you know, sharing when someone's at your home break, sharing with them in the same way you would want them to share with you, you know, when you're traveling, because, you know, people listening, you, me, I'll at least speak for myself. I know what it's like to be at a place that I don't know well. It's highly localized, and, you know, I'm struggling to get, you know, again, I don't want the best set wave that rolls through there, but I just want to, you know, get my waves. And I know what it feels like, you know, to feel sort of unwelcomed. And so, yeah, that's really good. I think that's good advice. I want to come back to another thing you mentioned, which was trust. You know, and this is the last newsletter / social media post before we get into your forthcoming book project, which, you know, I find that super fascinating as well. But you have, one, your newsletter was the one from it's June 11th, June 12th. So it's a recent one. And happy without friends. Damn, no, I think I got that right. But I feel like that paired well with, you know, that friends idea and something, a personality hack you wrote on social media, personality hack number 313, trust people with many friends. And I just want to know what, you know, your thoughts on that, you know, because you kind of bullet pointed it. But, you know, I know I'm sort of selfishly asking, but maybe the listeners want to know, too. Like, what do you mean by this?
OK, so what I wanted to do with that post and the rest, because normally I tend to write posts for 1 week on one topic, and then I wrap it up all in the newsletter. I was trying for sure to cover the concept of friendship, but the first idea that I wanted to fight was the misconception that surfing is selfish. So you were mentioning that, yeah, you selfishly wanted all the waves for yourself, but I'm sure that you prefer to surf with your buddies than to surf alone. And surfing, it's a group activity. It's all about friendship, but it's also about altruism. It's about caring about the other. And this, you have it in the many altruistic initiatives, charities, NGOs, foundations. I haven't had the time to watch it, to look for it, but I think in your new website, there's going to be like a section all for this initiative. Surfers have many friends, so trust surfers. That will be like the bottom line. This is connected to a recent research results that has been conducted by Harvard in one of the longest longitudinal researches for over 80 years. They've been following people. It's a research that is directed by Robert Waldinger. And they found out that the most relevant ingredient for a happy and that's very important, a healthy life is the quality of your relationships. So this means that if you want to live happy and long, you have to get good friends, you have to get good family, and you have to have the support of your community. connecting to this idea of the reciprocity that we were talking at the beginning. So that's really a very old idea that we are now backing up with science, with scientific support data. And this idea that you need to have friends to be happy. Therefore, happy without friends, comes from at least from Aristotle. And he said that we are this zon politikon. Zon politikon, again, is a Greek nice-sounding way of saying that we are political animals, which is not the best translation. The best translation for zon politikon would be that we are citizens, animals, or animals that live in cities. So that is a very important idea. So we are... from all the animal species, the one that can live in a big city like New York, and he wrote this idea that if you can live without society, you're either a beast or a god, and the second philosopher that we can trace back this idea that you're only happy with friends or when friends are around is Epicurus. We've talked about Epicurus, the Epicurean quote that was engraved on the stone. So for Epicurus, it's all about happiness. Happiness is all about friendship. First, I need to do a little interjection here. Epicurus and Epicurean have a different meaning on the original sentence than as people think. Now we think that it's an Epicurean meal. People believe that it's some sort of luxurious, luscious way of eating. And Epicurus was the philosopher that dealt with the idea of desire the most, but for sure, and contrary to the current meaning of the word, he would totally have preferred to have dinner with his pals, maybe fish tacos, then going to a fancy restaurant, having champagne, oysters, and lobster all by himself. What he was saying implicitly is that money can buy you love, and can buy you friends. And that is something that is very important because also there's new ideas, new research that money can avoid unhappiness, can make you or can help you avoid unhappiness, but will not make you happy. And this avoidance of unhappiness, you can get it with a few thousand dollars. It's not a thing that you need hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. So there is diminishing returns. The more money you have, this unhappiness becomes high on levels. So getting back to the idea of friends and happiness, Surfers epitomized this idea of bodies and freedom. So for Epicurus, there were three ingredients for a happy life. One was healthy relationships, friendship, and the other one was freedom. And the third one, the most important one, is wisdom. So you've got it there. So the philosopher club is surf and philosophy with buddies. So you got the three ingredients. So come along with your buddies and sign up. If you want to find the link, that is, you can find it in thephilosopher.club or philosopher.club.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I enjoy getting those newsletters, and I certainly want to encourage the listeners to check it out, because yeah, you're right. And there's been, you would know more about this than I would, but I think there's some of the oldest individuals on the planet are, on an island over in, I believe, Japan. And one of the things that has fostered this longevity is community. And so I think you're right. I don't think we're meant to live alone and isolated. We need community, and that global surfing community that you're trying to foster through your newsletter, through your website, through your initiatives is a really good avenue for sure. I want to actually talk a little bit about your forthcoming book, Philosophical Reflections on Water. And, I enjoyed the draft you sent me. And but I just, before I get into any questions about the book, I'd just like to know, again, kind of what compelled you to write this? Like, what do you hope the reader takes away from this book project when they read it?
This takes me back to my teaching days and the pandemic. So the very first idea of writing a book, which was not a book at the beginning, was basically using surfing not as a lens, but as a mirror, and as a mirror in which we can reflect. And that I thought about doing an intro for social anthropology, for cultural theories, for cross-cultural communication, cross-cultural management, to have the very first sessions reflecting around the idea of surfing. And this meaning that surfing is very attractive even for the non-surfers, and sometimes talking about very deep cultural theories is not. But if you take the idea that cultures or subcultures are fractals, meaning that so the surfing culture is a reflection of the American culture. And that's something that it's also from a previous episode on season one. I can't recall who was saying, but saying surf is sexist because the American society is sexist. That is totally true. And this also allows you to, or allows social anthropology to apply the comparative method. So my idea was to take the subculture of surfing and make students reflect on their own culture, looking at different mechanisms, patterns, structures that are very present in the surfing culture. Because at the very end, is this idea that it's easier to see the sawdust in some other's eyes than the big surfboard in your own, and that was the idea. So to produce a totally coherent introductory course of cultural theories and cross-cultural communication using surfing. Then the pandemic hit, and I was locked down with my dog. And then I said, okay, why don't we, me, myself, and I, start and write a book with these ideas. So why do I want a potential reader of the book? The very first idea that I would like people to have after reading the book is the idea of reflecting themselves on the pages, on the ideas and the theories on a double level. The first one would be their cultural identity. And this connects with cosmopolitanism. If people, after reading that, relativize, if that word exists, it makes their own cultural identity not to be so solid. They doubt a little bit about the tradition, the authority, the ideas, and they become more open-minded and cosmopolitan. I'll be more than happy. And the second one, it will be reflecting about their own personal identity. So these two levels are the ones that will be basically in the book. And the book is going to be basically different chapters around surfing topics that connect with philosophical ideas, mostly Western philosophical ideas. I will use some Eastern Taoist ideas in a couple of chapters that will be very easy to read. I'm not looking for an academic book. I'm looking for a more popularizer kind of reading where people can have a laugh and have a good time reading about philosophy using the attractiveness of surfing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I look forward to reading it when, you know, holding that book in my hand. And I also look forward to having it on the surfinghistorian.com, you know. The book you were referencing from episode one was Scott Latterman's. That was the episode Scott did. And his book Empire and Waves, which is another one we have featured on surfinghistorian.com. And, you know, I can't say enough about that book and Scott as a friend. But, you know, Ignacio, this has just been an insanely amazing conversation. And I want to go ahead and give you the last word, but I'm going to pull something from your book and I want you to explain it, this philosophical concept, as you were saying about your book, you want it to be accessible to folks outside the, you know, let's say the philosophy field. So I want to have you explain it in a way that, explain these concepts in a way that we all can understand, someone like myself who's not a philosopher. And so you actually pull a quote from Aaron James's book, Surfing with Sartre, which, again, another great book featured on our website. But you talk about, and he does, I believe, as well, time stands still in the barrel, right? Like you're getting barreled and there's this concept. And again, surfers that are listening are like, yeah, I know that. But it's you guys look at it through like a philosophical and I believe even pull in like Einstein's theories into this idea. Can you explain to me and the listeners, you know, what you guys mean by time standing still in the barrel as like this philosophical or time space idea in a way that we can understand? And with that, by the way, Ignacio, you get the last word.
Okay, thank you, Jason. The Aaron James quote is quite ironic because he says that if you ask a surfer, they're all going to tell you that time stops in the barrel, and then he adds a very funny thing, as if they have read Proust. You know, Proust's book is that one, In Search of Lost Time. You know? And then on the next paragraph says, "Well, you don't have to believe the surfers because they lie as fishermen." So that is why I wanted to use that quote, because it's a funny and a very interesting book. I recommend to everybody Surfing with Sartre, but it's also a very deeply philosophical book. Talking about the book. The first chapter, the introduction, it's a description of how waves form, and I was deeply moved and inspired by Rachel Carson's book, The Sea Around Us, and I tried with my limited writing skills to follow to make a character of a very small wave. Not small, but a wave that evolves from the storm that forms in the Bering Sea all the way to Punta Cicatela in Puerto Escondido, Mexico, which is a spot that I've served a lot during my fieldwork research. And in that first introduction, which is a storytelling, I'm describing the long trouble and the complicated marine forces that combine in a very specific way. And for those of you who are not surfers, a lot of swells do not make it to the shore, or they make it to the shore, but they are not perfect for surfing. It's just when a lot of random things happen that the waves travel thousands of miles, that they are able to organize themselves in patterns. And those patterns are what we call sets of waves. Okay, so that's what we long for. We long for not for wind swells, which are waves that have been just formed by the wind, but we want ground swells, which are like if you see it from the distance, it's like a flat ocean, and all of a sudden you can see pattern lines as if it's like a paper on a notebook. So there is a lot of things that need to combine, and there is a lot of randomness, and a lot of waves do not make it. And I use this introduction to tell the reader that we are also waves. We are also waves that we start small, we gain momentum, and then we crash onto shores. And we never know if we're going to crash and we're going to transform into a perfect hollow barreling wave, or we're going to be destroyed at the very end by an onshore wind or a side wind. So that is something that it connects very much the idea of the ocean and life, and we are waves, but also connects again with the idea of time that we've been discussing, because ground swells are the manifestation in the present time of the energy of a storm that is no longer there, that has disappeared. It's very similar to these stars that we still see from the Earth, but they have disappeared. It's just the energy that is still coming to us. And if the sun would disappear, I think it's 15 minutes that we will still be seeing light. Some stars, it can be up to 90 centuries. Okay, so we are waves. Waves are time. Waves are life. So those are the ideas that I develop on the book. Then I go into a more poetic idea that also time is a wave, and this is where the idea of Einstein and all the modern physics that I'm not going to try to explain here. But I wrote that time is an ocean that ripples and flattens. Time bends, rolls and unrolls. It bristles, peaks, breaks. It can be a raging sea or a plastic reflection of the clouds above us. And I finished that little chapter with the question, ain't that what keep us in awe?
If you enjoyed this thought-provoking conversation with Ignacio about his research on surfing and philosophy, I'd like to invite you to check out my next episode, where I'll be joined by fellow surfing historian, Dr. Kevin Dawson. Kevin will be checking in from Northern California to chat with me about his book, Undercurrents of Power, Aquatic Cultures in the African Diaspora, a book I like to define as a surfing history of West Africa. If this sounds like a topic that gets you stoked, then this will definitely be an episode you won't want to miss. We also want to take a moment to thank Foil Surfboards again for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget to check them out at foilsurfboards.com. And while you're there, use promo code STAYSTOKED for a discount on your purchase. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Surfing Historian. If you're stoked on these conversations, be sure to share, like, and subscribe to never miss an episode. And don't forget to check out our killer merch at surfinghistorian.com. Proceeds go to help keep this amazing podcast going strong. Until next time, stay stoked.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.